Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The cream of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Episode 368 of Top Rope Nation alongside Justin Joint. I am your host for this evening, Jesse Velasquez. How are you doing, Justin, on this middle of the December evening?
It is cold and windy outside, but I am doing damn good. I am doing so damn good that I have actual booze in the glass tonight. I got some monkey shoulder in the glass in my new Top Rope Nation, which is very nice. Very happy with that. But it's been a damn good day because Spurs pulled a win out of their ass against Man United. The Timberwolves are welcoming back Cat tonight. So we're hoping for a bloodbath there. Hopefully the Timberwolves can get it done over the Knicks. And I'm excited for a comic book movie for the first time in years. Superman looks fucking good. The trailer was just released today, and I'm very excited. I was a Superman kid growing up. He was the first of probably any kind of mythological superhero that just really grabbed my imagination. I grew up with this giant Superman poster on my door. I actually have a picture that I drew when I was, well, probably about my kid's age of Superman that my aunt found and framed for me. I'm pumped, man. I think it looks, were you a Superman kid growing up at all?
I was. I'm trying to recall, because I mean, I'm a comic book kind of nerd, in like, what was the first action hero that really caught my eye? And it might have been him. He just never truly stuck with me after that. And I never cared about DC, Marvel, who was superior. I mean,
yeah.
Much like WCW, WWF, it was kind of it's irrelevant to me now. So, yeah, definitely a Superman kid. And I used to fly my son around the house like Superman when he was an infant.
Oh, hell yeah. Got to do that. Yeah, dude, I was such a fan of the boring white bread superheroes to the point where, you know, Superman was my first favorite. And my favorite X-Man? Cyclops. I'm that okay. Guy. Cyclops was my, now eventually it probably switched over to, you know, Gambit and Wolverine, but for a long time, Cyclops was my guy.
I don't see you as a Cyclops person.
I can't explain it at all. Other than, you know, maybe he was just the leader and I don't know. I guess I just liked the rule followers.
It's almost like Leonardo was your favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Which he wasn't. Michelangelo was.
Michelangelo was mine as well.
You know, what can I say? I contain multitudes, I guess.
Hey, it's nice to have four separate characters. I feel like I have a little bit of every Ninja Turtle in me.
Now I would say I lean more towards Donatello. Did you ever see the Mutant Mayhem movie?
No,
I have not. Latest animated Turtles movie. It's really good. Definitely recommend it.
I believe you. I wonder if I should get... Yeah, I might have to introduce my son to that over the holiday break next weekend when I have him.
Ooh, also, sorry, while I'm thinking of animated movies, Wild Robot is unbelievable. Absolutely freaking loved it. Cried because I'm a wuss these days, but couldn't recommend Wild Robot highly enough.
I've heard a lot of good things about that, so that's good to know. I'll be taking notes on that as well. Last question about comic books or comic book movies. You had mentioned that this is the first comic book movie in a long time that you were super stoked for. What was the last one?
Oh, what was... I mean, honestly, I think I was kind of excited for Flash just because of Michael Keaton coming back. And then I ended up kind of borderline hating that movie. I'm trying to think of more like probably the Doctor Strange. What was that? Into the Mouth of Madness. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what ruined it for me, because I was really pumped for that, seeing, you know, Sam Raimi's version of a Marvel movie, and just wasn't what I was hoping it could be, which, you know, I still liked it, but they just slowly degraded in quality, in my opinion. Basically, you know, they probably should have just ended everything and started from scratch after Endgame, because there was no way they were ever going to top that. And the TV shows outside of WandaVision, I didn't think were all that great.
Yeah, that was the very first one, if I recall, too. I have not caught on to any of those. I said it. They should have ended it after Endgame. You don't.
Yeah.
At this point, they're just trying to make money for the sake of making money and cashing in on Marvel's name.
People aren't interested in these, you know, I'm sorry, but these side characters trying to, you know, play the roles of the superheroes we grew up on, you know, just it's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, the last Spider-Man that I saw, I think that was after Endgame. That was excellent, but outside of that, there wasn't really, it hasn't been much.
All the Spider-Man? Far From Home?
No. Yes, there was Homecoming, Far From Home, and I don't remember the name of the third one. I loved them all.
Yeah, they those have all been excellent. I agree. And honestly, I thought Wolverine and Deadpool was fucking hilarious. I was also pretty drunk when I watched that one with some buddies, so that probably helped.
I still haven't seen it, and here I am with True to Blue. I've heard I'm a huge Wolverine fan as well. Like Logan is still in my Mount Rushmore of favorite Marvel movies ever.
Oh yeah, that'd be up there for me too. You just can't go wrong with a superhero action movie that highlights Madonna's Like a Prayer, one of the greatest songs of all time.
Oh, and then Johnny Cash at the end of Logan. Oh
yeah.
I'll have to watch that. That'll probably be a New Year's Eve affair for me. So you're drinking alcohol in your beautiful Top Rope Nation Rocks glass. I have NA tonight. So
there we go.
I haven't had one in a long time.
Ooh, an Athletic too.
Got a little golden ale, which I've never tried before.
They're solid. Solid for NAs.
Okay. I mean, I've always gone the hazy IPA route because that's just who I am. So, well, as you can see, Ryan Drosty is not here this evening. The weather terrorism took place, as Justin alluded to, with the very, very cold winds that have been taking place in Iowa up here to my city here. We've got about 3 to 4 inches of snow in about a 4.5 hour span. So Ryan, thankfully, did not get caught up in that, but unfortunately, he will not be with us this evening. You can catch him, Justin, and Kyle Ross on a TRN Patreon show, which I'm highlighting here, patreon.com/Top Rope Nation, where you can find the recent edition of Classics, 2 hours on Survivor Series 1992. While my son and I were doing puzzles and reading books, I had a Bluetooth in my left ear listening to every bit of that show.
Got to love all these beautiful names scrolling at the bottom right now. Love all these people.
They're tremendous. And I can guarantee you. Go ahead, Justin.
We have a new one. I listened to your guys' Saturday night's main event review, and I heard a certain Carter Allen is our latest Patreon.
That is correct. Are you familiar with Mr. Carter Allen?
That is my cousin. He is the guy, when I decided I was too old for professional wrestling and stopped watching, I gave him all my figures. What he did with them, I don't think I've ever actually asked him what happened to all those. But I gave him all my wrestling figures. Well, not I gave him all my WWE ones, because I still have my WCW ones. But yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that'll definitely be a question you'll have to ask him over the weekend if you still keep in contact with him. I'm assuming you do.
I'm excited for him to dig into our backlog of episodes. We got some good stuff in there.
There are so many things, and we're going to be hitting the December Classics here probably in a couple of weeks, I would imagine, after New Year's. I'm very curious to see what's up for vote. Put up a couple of ideas on Pro Wrestling's Then and Now with Frank Pediani, which I was on to review Starrcade 1994.
Let's not do that one.
Don't get the idea to nominate that. I already said on that show, if you do nominate it, I might have to revoke your patronage. So Using the old Dominion machine, as our old host once said, I would not mind Starrcade 88 or 89.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Take either one of those. Justin, we got to get to current day. WWE and AEW. We're going to be hitting really, really heavy on AEW here in the within probably the next 10 minutes, I'd imagine. First things first, you missed our Saturday night's main event episode. I know you had quite a bit going on with family and such, and that's that time of year. Give me your thoughts on what you saw of WWE Saturday night's main event.
So I didn't get around to it until I think Sunday night is when I attempted my watch. Because I did not make it all the way through. Loved all the retro stuff. I think they could have gone further with it. You know, I wanted to see those old wrestler-inspired fonts when they were showing who was facing who. You know, you'd have the Macho Man versus, you know, Honky Tonk or whatever, and you have those beautiful signature fonts for each wrestler. I was hoping to get that. And I was also hoping to get the opening show promos, kind of like how when Collision first started and kind of their little bit of paying homage to Saturday night's main event. They did that for the first couple shows, I believe, and then it just got scraped to the side. But I was really hoping for that, especially over this new trend of camera shots of dudes walking in. I am so over. I mean, even freaking AEW started their show with the Death Riders walking in the building. It's like, can we come up with something better? I mean, even like a 15-second promo from one of these guys is going to do more for the show than, oh, yeah, here's people walking in. That's exciting. I mean, fucking Saturday night's main event did that for like five different people, it seemed like. But then it ended up really losing me because lots of commercials, so much non-wrestling stuff in that show. And it seemed like every match, or at least the first two, it was like the match would start 2 minutes in, somebody would get thrown to the outside, and it would go to commercial. And I was like, oh, so we're probably going to be doing this all night. So I tuned out. It wasn't for me. I think I would argue against Frank with his take that he thinks it's better that the Kevin Owens angle after the show, you know, should have stayed off air. I think that should have been on the show. You know, the whole point of this, if supposedly this show was going to get eyeballs from casuals or people who aren't really interested in the product at all anymore, I think you needed something to really hook them. And that would have been the hook, seeing a package pile driver, a move that, you know, it looks pretty dangerous and who the normal fan would have never seen before. And then an altercation with Triple H would be make people, oh, whoa, what the hell is going on here? I might have to tune in to Raw on Monday to see what's up. I think that would have actually hooked people. And honestly, you know, growing up, the thing that hooked me into wrestling was the Twin Hebners. You know, a crazy angle is what hooked me into professional wrestling. And I think that's what they needed to do. They just put out, you know, some okay matches, and I just don't think okay matches are enough these days. Although I don't think there's actual, you know, any audience out there that they could bring in. I think things are pretty steady, and I think the ratings showed that this essentially got the same rating as any other, you know, Raw or SmackDown or whatever. So overall, love the retro stuff. It was fun hearing Jesse. He was, as you pointed out, he was much better on this show than he was on the Bill Simmons podcast. He was really bad on that. Really got me concerned for Saturday night's main event. But I'd say C for what I saw. C plus maybe.
Fair. Yeah, I know Brian Koval mentioned it in the group, which I talked about on Saturday night, with the 2 minutes of in-ring action immediately cut to commercial. It happened in all five matches. So props to our guest, Jay Schmitz, by the way, for taking inventory of ring time that night and giving us the lowdown there and just how everything was in kind of fast forward, rushing through things. Mm-hmm. Take away one match would have been easy. And then what you do from there is, you stagger the times of your commercials, as opposed to what you gave the audience, which just for people like you and quite a few others from what I've heard, it didn't sit well.
Yeah, I just I agree with that. Get rid of one match, maybe give some extra time to one of the others. And I think it needed a big title change. You know, I was happy to see Chelsea win the Women's United States Championship, but that's not enough. I think we just needed something bigger, whether that be a big title change to end the show or else actually showing the footage of Kevin Owens.
Oh, I know. Like I said, I would have definitely upgraded it for me for at least a third of a grade for sure, just to keep furthering that. And then coming up here, which I'm going to lead into kind of a question that'll get us to from WWE to AEW. I'll first talk about WWE moving to Netflix here on January 6th and how they're loading the card, which there are four matches announced right now. And let's see if any of these at all tickle your fancy. This one does not. A tribal combat match between Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa.
No, don't care. So Solo has gotten way better over the course of the last year. Yeah, I mean, he's miles ahead of where he was, but they've just done too much damage to his reputation and in my eyes to actually see him as any kind of viable threat.
You and I both, we definitely agree there. So let's just hope that they end this. I hope that this is like the end of it where Roman defeats Solo and they just get... Oh, what about Dwayne Johnson? I'll ask that question as well. Do you think that we'll see him on this Netflix episode?
Yeah, sure. Why not? They're loading it up. It's in Los Angeles. So yeah, I was going to say it should be the blow off for the Roman Reigns and Sikoa feud. And it should be the transition into the Roman and Rock.
110%. The only transition I care about from the inferior bloodline faction is where does Jacob Fatu go?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The rest of them, yeah, they're pretty much non-existent. They can stay in the mid card as far as I believe we're all concerned here.
People love it. They're totally into this, so I'm sure they'll drag it out for another 6 months in its current form.
I know, with all the gateways, and then the Usos came back, and then Sammy came back, and now Sammy obviously got involved with Drew. That was a tremendous match, I felt, on Saturday night's main event. Wish it had gotten a little bit more time nonetheless, but yeah, I think it's just completely time to wipe that entire thing clean. And I think with the interjection of CM Punk at Survivor Series, there's a potential you can kind of break that story off. And speaking of that as well, we're finally getting the singles match between CM Punk and Seth Rollins.
Stunned this isn't being saved for Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, but I suppose, you know, what's really the difference when those aren't on pay-per-view? It's not like you're making any extra money. People, you know, who are going to those shows are going to go to those shows, whether or not that match is on it. So yeah, I can see why they're putting it on this show when they are really trying to get new eyeballs, you know, trying to get that Netflix audience to watch this show. And that's honestly the biggest match I think they could put on for this show. I mean, a possible match. Like, obviously, Rock and Roman would be much bigger, but they're not going to do that on a Raw. So, I color me curious about this one.
You and I both, especially since they've tied in some great loose ends over the last decade, even in the last year when I know with Michael Cole holding back Seth Rollins at Survivor Series 23, we put the parentheses on holding back, but just how serious and just how furious Seth looked, I think, in the moment. You wondered where it kind of draws the line, and over the last year, I mean, he's been trying to get to CM Punk at some point in time, but at one point, Punk said, you have what I want. Now that you don't, you're completely irrelevant. Get the hell out of my way. And Seth's like, yeah. No, it doesn't work that way. Your ego is so damn big. You shouldn't have been here in the first place. Which, by the way, the promo on Monday night with Seth Rollins and CM Punk had some harking similarities to a certain Hangman Page CM Punk promo from Double or Nothing.
Oh, really?
Pre-Double or Nothing.
Oh, yep. I did not hear that comparison. Now I might need to watch that because I heard the brawl was actually pretty good, that they really got after each other. But the things that I had seen about the pre-match back and forth, nothing really teased my nipples all that much, if you will.
Because when Hangman made that allusion to where he alluded to CM Punk just saying, I'm going to save AEW from you.
Mm-hmm.
Seth kind of tied those things into his promo on Monday night as well.
I wish he should have brought up Colt Cabana
and ask him how he was doing. Yeah. No, like Seth Rollins and Logan Paul have both been kind of taking a page out of Hangman Page's arsenal, I'd say, over the last couple of years in different ways.
Yep.
Hangman's been calling it out recently.
Yeah. Great skeet from Hangman. You love to see it.
Leaves his plants, yes. Outside of that. there's two women's matches on the card. Speaking of another feud that has to end, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley for the women's championship.
Put it on Ripley, move on. You know, kind of like with Saturday night's main event, if you want a big hook, start with there with the title change.
Yeah, and they have not done a great job, which was brought to my attention on Blue Sky on Monday night. They've done a horrible job building up contenders to Liv Morgan, and it's only because they're keeping the seat warm for Rhea Ripley. Is Rhea going to have the same problem when she takes that title back? My assumption is probably yes.
Yeah, probably means that you've got more than a quarter of the, probably about half the women's roster either engaged in the tag title scene or the mid-card title scene.
That is correct, which, again, the United States Championship, as Justin said earlier, was won by Chelsea Green. Yeah. We have the Intercontinental Championship now that will be decided on Netflix, and your four people that are left are Dakota Kai, she'll be wrestling Zoe Stark. Kairi Sane was injured, so Io Shirai took her place, and she'll be wrestling Lyra Valkyria in the other semifinal. Io taking a step back, kind of odd.
Yeah, I don't know. Couldn't even tell you who should win out of them.
I think from what I've seen, and I got wind, I was thinking Chelsea Green was going to win it. I think Dakota Kai is going to be the one that's going to take this too. She just seems to be like a IWC fan favorite, more or less. I mean, Lyra Valkyria, I think, would be a decent one because she's already defeated Becky Lynch in the last year, defeated her for the NXT Championship when Becky went down there. So that's a possibility too. I don't see anything with Zoe. And then Io, This is a step below her pay grade, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one, it'd be her, but that's just because she's my favorite out of all of them. No other reason than that.
Hands down. And again, that 7-8 minute match she had with Liv Morgan, I mean, it was a pretty cool sprint. So, I mean, yeah, she still got it in the ring. Just a matter of giving her the opportunity to do so.
Now, the thing I'm looking forward to most, well, for one, just to, if Netflix can handle, the eyeballs that will be on a live program, which I'm sure they can. This isn't, Tyson and Paul, but I'm excited to see the Intuit Dome. Is it Inuit or Intuit? Ah, fuck it, whatever it is. The Clippers home. Excited to see that. Usually you cannot tell what arena is, a show is on. Maybe sometimes if the crowd is behaving in certain ways, if you have a hot one, you might be able to narrow it down to a few places. But very excited to see how that place looks for a wrestling show.
We agree. Have you watched any Clippers games this year?
I tried watching one. I fucking hate James Harden and find his style of basketball unwatchable. So I tried to watch, and frankly, from the camera shots I was getting, couldn't even tell that it was in that place. But with a wrestling show, obviously you're going to get a lot more shots of the around the arena. So looking forward to it.
So will there be more laziness on this premiere episode of Raw or from what we see on James Harden on a nightly basis? James Harden was his name for a long time because he plays no defense.
That's awesome.
Ugh, so gross. All right, kind of transition to AEW with this question as well. We mentioned that WWE will now be on Netflix exclusively. You have AEW now going to simulcast TNT and Max. There was some news today as well that they're going to be moving, I believe, the first couple of months worth of Dynamites beyond the Max app. They're going to move most of the pay-per-views right away. I'm assuming that's probably going to be rolled out here over the course of the next year.
I thought it was just the 2019 Dynamites and pay-per-views.
Okay.
The way I read it, that's how I interpreted it. Hopefully I'm wrong because there's a lot of stuff I want to go back and watch. But besides that, it was just going to be the last 2 or 3 months from the current product of both Dynamite and pay-per-views.
Okay. So, I mean, again, slowly but surely, they're going to start rolling things out. Where I don't know if you caught this, but with Netflix and WWE, when Peacock just shelves everything, there isn't much going over to Netflix. And I don't know what's going to happen here with AEW.
Oh, fuck, dude. That's not cool.
No. We had talked about cable, or not cable, but bringing back physical copies of things.
Well, I guess I'll be able to cut the cord on another streaming service. Goodbye, Peacock, even though I did use it to watch Conclave the other night. Good movie, by the way.
I might have to catch that as well. I know. I got to figure this out because I have Sling, and the only thing I use it for, to tell you the truth, is Dynamite and Collision.
Gotta love it. You got your priorities straight, man.
Yeah, exactly. I have Peacock, and I'm probably going to shelve that. So you can probably count me as somebody who's going to convert over to Netflix and Max, and I'll probably just keep those. Call it good.
Hell yeah.
I've been enjoying my Showtime recently, though, let me tell you.
Is that Paramount?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't have that one. Haven't pulled the trigger.
Got one more month left of it. I caught Dexter's New Blood, which, getting off topic here, loved it.
I heard Landman is phenomenal. That's the show I would like to watch, but I'm not about to pay for another streaming service unless I unless I can bail on another one.
Got to figure out, yeah, how much these things cost.
Oh, fuck. So, I can't get rid of Peacock, even if WWE leaves. That's how I watch a bunch of Tottenham.
Oh, that's right.
EPL's on there. God damn it, son of a bitch.
Do you hear that, EPL? You gotta figure out a different way to just stream. How about I don't know. I digress there.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, yep, AEW's making that move, as Justin alluded to. Give me your thoughts overall on that. And obviously, it's going to be seen as a positive thing because more people will be able to view the product. How many more eyeballs? Just kind of give a prediction. What do you think?
I just don't think anything. Like, you know, just like with Saturday night's main event and with, you know, the Netflix deals, just I think you kind of have the audience you're going to have. You know, it's just right now the product is so hot because people are really into it. They're engaged emotionally. They're spending money on it, you know, going to the shows, at least with WWE, maybe not so much with AEW, but I just don't think it's not going to make any kind of huge difference. They're not going to, you know, months from now, they're not going to be at double their viewership because they're on Netflix or they're on Max. I just don't see, you know, my dad would sit with me during the Attitude Era and watch Raw. He's not going to fucking be even somewhat curious about, oh, what's this? WWE's on Netflix? Oh, this AEW. I think my son's really into this. Maybe I should check this out. No, he doesn't give a shit. He's not going to watch. He hasn't cared since, you know, the late 90s. And I just more than a transition to a popular streaming service, the only way either one of these promotions are bringing in more or, you know, casual eyeballs is they need a Stone Cold or a Hogan. You know, they just need a super duper star who transcends the sport. That's what's going to bring in eyeballs, not streaming services.
Yeah. No, we definitely agree. Not only that, I mean, this is a question I'll ask probably on the next podcast when Ryan's comes back. But did our generation drop the ball when it comes to viewing on television? Because my parents and my grandparents were hooked on pro wrestling like way back in the day, and then now you're seeing the generation below me, and they don't really care. There's just so many other things that they're just really into as opposed to pro wrestling. It's just not for them.
I mean, there's just so much more going around to distract us than, you know, what we had growing up when some of us only had two or three channels in general. So we could only watch so much. We could, you know, we had to go to the store to rent things to watch. We didn't have five streaming services. You know, video games are way more abundant than they ever were before. So, yeah, I mean, just the world is one giant, distraction. So much tougher to bring in new eyeballs.
Gosh, that'd be an interesting dissertation for a graduating PhD student. Just the fall of professional wrestling viewership and just really digging into it. I'd almost want to figure out somebody that's like in their 22, 23 years old and just with an addiction to the sport that we love so much and say, hey, can you do this for your dissertation? Would absolutely love that. AEW Dynamite. All right. I mean, let's just hit it right away because I've watched the match twice now. Continental Classic, Will Ospreay, Darby Allin. Thoughts first and foremost.
Tuesday on the Top Rope Nation Facebook page, I posted about Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher being the match of the tournament for me. And 24 hours later, that post had aged like eggs left out in the sun, drenched in milk. Because not only did Darby and Ospreay easily have the match of the tournament, and of one of which I do not think will be topped, they had a match of the year candidate. They had, I haven't done my research, but will most likely be the best match on TV for the year. Like you, I've watched it twice because I had to show my son tonight because it's his two favorite wrestlers. I just fucking loved it because, you know, all the things that can drive me nuts about a Will Ospreay match, Darby's style prevents all the shit I don't like from happening. You know, Darby is so good as a babyface selling, and he takes his time with selling, that it slows down big chunks of the match where I think Ospreay would probably be trying to go at a much faster tempo. Yeah, man, part of me thinks it should have been over with the Code Red, to keep intrigue for future matches. You have this like split second moment where Will Ospreay, you know, just loses balance, loses focus, and Darby could have really just gotten this out of nowhere win. And, you know, you save the actual finish, which I still liked everything after, you know, that the styles clashed to the floor. Holy shit. Everything with the finish was good, with Darby having to hit two coffin drops to get the three count, you know, and with, in the opening of the show, he did the It's Showtime callback to Sting. And then he does Scorpion Death Drop in this match. I think all of that could have been used in a rematch, but that's nitpicking because what we got was fucking incredible. Absolutely loved it.
It takes a lot to beat Will Ospreay. I mean, in order to try to catch him off guard, that hasn't been done yet. So, I mean, we can save that for down the road or if ever. I don't know. I mean, maybe in like 3 or 4 years from now. So I really like the way that Darby won the match, and it's the only way you could. Starting to not necessarily rehab his character because I don't really think it needs it, but I mean, he's lost a couple of matches that I almost felt he shouldn't have. I mean, number one, you got Jack Perry. I mean, just to get out of that feud. And then you had the match with Moxley where he got rid of his title shot and he's mm-hmm. just said, all right, I'm going to take you on for the title shot. He lost to Moxley. Okay, that makes sense because it's Moxley. Now the loss to Claudio that we had kind of poo-pooed about a month ago, now it makes more sense. And the easiest reason is because the rematch is coming on Saturday.
Yep. And it could determine the table.
Darby's winning that.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Especially since, you know, he just lost that Claudio match. Yeah, I agree 100%. They're doing a really, really good job rehabbing Darby with this tournament, with him being in it. And you know, while still keeping him tied to the Death Rider stuff with him calling out Will Ospreay, you know, it's like Will Ospreay's just like, hey, I'm, you know, I'm concentrating on the tournament. After the tournament, I'll be more than happy to help you out, which is great, you know, storytelling and putting importance on the tournament while also keeping an eye on the major storyline going on in AEW right now. But Darby getting this win, getting the Claudio win. Does he have only one? Is it just the Claudio match? Or he's got another one more at least, right? Let me take a look here.
All the Gold Leaguers have two matches to go.
So shit. Darby's got Ricochet left too.
Yes. Which we're going to get into him here in a moment as well. Yep. You got Ospreay. Okay. Yeah. Ricochet trying to run the gauntlet with Darby Allin and Will Ospreay back to back after his little minute and a half segment where he's trying to weasel his way into or become a newest member of the Hurt Syndicate. And now he's kind of got a switch streams here because Lashley, they just grabbed him and just saying, you're not taking this serious enough. You're kind of just a cocky, arrogant prick.
This is just in that one show, last night's Dynamite. This is the most interested I've been in Ricochet in years. I fucking love this new character. Cause what they call him, an ass kisser or something like that. Very intrigued where this is going. We've talked about it before as to why this AEW run wasn't clicking with Ricochet. And that's because, you know, he's not the athlete he once was. He's not, you know, the sole guy in the industry that could do what he could do there for a while. Now there's lots of them and there's lots of them in AEW. So he has to have another dynamic to be able to not get lost in the shuffle here. And this is working so far. I like this little kind of head up his own ass, coward in a way.
I think it works out well. Maybe he'll get straightened out by the Hurt Syndicate when he joins them. Because, I mean, they could definitely use a guy of his stature, Cedric Alexander-esque. I mean, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, I definitely would like to see Shelton paired up with somebody to add some juice to the tag team division. I don't know if Ricochet's the guy now, especially after they made him look like such a coward, you know, with that promo. But there's got to be somebody out there. I just don't know if Ricochet's the guy.
Yeah, they've been handing out cards left and right to about probably five or six different people. So do they add one? Do they add two? I mean, jury's out there. Ricochet just is a weirdo. Let's just be honest here. I mean, it's just the way he's been over the last decade. He even inherited Jadakiss's laugh a couple times last night. So
oh god, and that's so obnoxious. I love it.
No, I'm completely with you on that. I kind of got sidetracked with Darby and Ospreay. I want to go back to that just because the contrast in styles, but Darby just, I think he turned it into warp speed for the first time in a long time for me. And that's what really made this match. He sped this up to where Ospreay had to play catch up. And it worked so well.
And the thing with Darby, just because he is such a Gumby out there, just the way he can move that some of those counters, you know, the back and forths look so fluid and natural and not performative. It just, I mean, this was a perfect, you know, one-on-one with two guys, their talents. And even though they're both baby faces, it worked to perfection.
No, and that's exactly what I said, was just the transitions didn't look choreographed whatsoever. Everything yes. looked natural. Yep. And you don't see many people that can hang with Ospreay from that perspective ever. I mean, he had a match with Rey Fénix about 6-7 months ago. I felt that was similar, but not as good as this.
I was and at Darby, that show.
That's right.
That was the Des Moines show, yeah.
I forgot about that. I don't remember what your take was at the time on that one.
Loved it. Thought it was awesome. Rey Fénix is really good when he's not acting weird.
Oh, man, Rey. Oh, anyway. Oh. Oh, all right. I have to rip this joke off right now because you just said it. So they teased a Penta debut coming up here in the next month and a half for the WWE.
Okay.
To which I saw online, and it made me laugh so hard, is that he can't move. He can't use pretty much anything from his moveset whatsoever in the WWE. Can't use the sling blade because Finn Balor has it. Can't use the Canadian Destroyer because it's a pile driver. He can't use the package pile driver that Kevin Owens just used off screen because the pile driver is outlawed. What's Becky he going to do for a moveset?
Becky Lynch has his other one, the Disarmer.
Exactly. What is he going to do for a moveset?
Well, I give him my blessing to steal the Sling Blade from Finn Balor. I don't see any problems with that. You can use other mid-carders moveset.
Oh, yeah. 1-9 Finn Balor. Nice job this year. Nice job this year. Now, back to Dynamite as a whole. Give me your, let's see. This is what we were going to touch on. The AEW Women's Division.
Yeah.
And kind of the upcomings of it. We saw Mercedes Moné in a pretty solid opener last night with Anna Jay. So we'll start from there, and then just we'll talk about the direction where it's headed, because it's not sky high, but it's on its ascension.
Compared to where it was a year ago, it's in a really great place. And especially even considering where it was in the spring, when it really felt like spring to early summer, where it felt like Mercedes's AEW run was kind of floundering a little bit. Real quick before I forget, I have not. Were you able to see the Azuki match with Mercedes from this past weekend?
I have not.
Me neither. Hearing good things. Mercedes might be on a bit of a roll right now. Obviously, she had the excellent match with Statlander at Full Gear, but this women's division, I would put the a lot of its resurgence on Mercedes at the moment. And then you have, Toni Storm, Mariah May doing just, acting and wrestling can be very iffy as to whether or not it works. It's usually either okay or really embarrassingly bad. And both Toni and Mariah are pretty phenomenal at it. So those three ladies, and then you have like the two kind of backbones, in my opinion, in Willow Nightingale and Statlander. They're the ones who are just, you can trot them out. They're going to have just a real banger humper of a match, no matter, when or where that happens. But the thing I'm most impressed with is kind of how they've grown with Anna Jay and Julia Hart. These are women, when they first came in, it's like no interest for me in seeing any of their matches, just way too sloppy. Didn't really seem like they knew what they were doing, but Anna has looked fantastic. Julia already had shown that she had made, leaps and bounds progression from where she was. Then you have Jamie Hayter's back. She looks like she's really starting to round into wrestling shape after being gone for so long with the injuries. Mina is, so entertaining. Same with Harley. She's incredibly entertaining. And when you think about where they were and how they've been and where they could be, I'm very excited at the prospect of Athena finally getting a spotlight on regular television in 2025. That's just fingers crossed. We don't know that for sure. But if you add her to this women's division, holy shit. I mean, there are legit, you talk about the women's world title. There's like three or four of them that I think are pretty fucking deserving of it in 2025. Athena and Willow at the top of that list for me.
I'm hoping that Athena loses tomorrow night.
Yep.
To Billy Starks. That's first and foremost, because we can finally please get her on All Elite Wrestling television at some point in time. Her slate right now is essentially clean, because we haven't seen her in so long. So she has so many fresh matchups she can roll into, and you can easily present her as a threat. Maybe have her be the one to take Mercedes' TBS title off of her right away.
Yes. Yes. And it's funny. We talk about there being too many titles in wrestling, and there are, but the TBS is a quote unquote secondary title that honest to God feels just as important to me as the world title does. Just because if you, when you look back at the lineage of the TBS title, for the most part, it's been, you know, carried by, you know, kind of the, you know, the spotlight or the highlight of the women's division. You know, it was Jade Cargill for so long, and now it's, you know, Mercedes Moné carrying it. It's just, they've done a really good job making sure that that title doesn't look subpar to the main one.
Big time. I think there is a gripe that I have had, and it's still taking place right now, is there will be a woman that will lose we'll just say the AEW Women's World title shot. She'll get immediately thrown into the TBS, which has happened to Anna now. And it also used to be the other way around, where someone would lose in an initial TBS title match, and then they would get thrown into the world title picture.
Yeah.
Wish there was a little bit less of that. But, I mean, again, with all these burgeoning talents that we mentioned, Julia and Jamie Hayter will be wrestling on January 1st for the first ever Max and TNT simulcast fight for the Fallen. I'd have to assume Julia's going to be winning that one just because she's the heel here.
And making her return, I think, more importantly.
Yeah, so I mean, just find some shenanigans so Jamie still looks extremely strong in the process.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiments about, you know, the flaws in the division. I think some of that they just can't help because it's not as big as the men's division, so they kind of have to recycle some of these competitors. But I think if you look at the booking of some of the latest shows, it does feel like they're treating the women's matches with a little bit more respect. You think about Full Gear, something that I know has driven you nuts, where they usually put the women in the death spot. Well, they did not do that. They did that to Ricochet and Takeshita in Full Gear. You know, they opened last night's Dynamite with the women's match, you know, which is usually a spotlight match, the first one in Dynamite. So hopefully those are trends going forward that won't just, you know, die away, that these are lessons that maybe Tony has learned. But you would agree with that, right? It does seem like he's putting a little bit more respect on the division.
It's taken a long time, close to 5 years. Yeah, slowly. Yeah, I will say that it's taking not a giant step, but it's definitely taken about 3 steps forward. There is zero question about that. So yeah, no, I'm going to actually get into this from Sean as well. Do you like Toni Storm's amnesia right now?
Yeah. Under almost anyone else, you know, to my point about acting and wrestling, it'd probably be fucking horrifying. You know, the kind of stuff if somebody you live with who doesn't watch is walked in while you're watching, you'd probably, you know, start crying and apologizing. Toni's excellent in this role. I am super intrigued. It's obvious to me, at least, that this is timeless Toni playing, you know, the rock star Toni Storm. And I'm all in. I want to see where this goes.
Erased herself from history. Oh, that promo last night. I'm a rock star.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. The acting is like, you can tell she does not totally believe that when she says it, you know, like she's laying it on just the right amount. It's not too thick to be embarrassing, but it's just enough that if you're paying attention, you should catch it.
Absolutely. Oh, and RJ City's the one who's producing all this, so it's great that he's got his hand in some of these segments as well, where he's on screen with her, because they have good chemistry together.
Yeah,
and I used to despise RJ City when he first started. Oh,
same. I will publicly apologize right now. I am sorry, RJ City. I know. What was the other big story? Was it him all along with the Toni and Mariah?
I believe that was
kind of his baby. Yeah, he's doing God's work. Bless him.
Mentioned Mina Shirakawa. She'll be wrestling Mercedes. I want to say at Wrestle Dynasty.
Yes, that is correct. Looking forward to it.
It'll be fun. And it's for the New Japan Strong Women's Championship. But yeah, no, all things are looking very, very bright. I saw back earlier, Sean, talking about Thunder Rosa and her just getting a title shot out of thin air. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, I agree there, because she's been kind of hit and miss with her character in the last 6 months. But I mean, this is just another way to, just kind of As soon as this match is over, Mariah retains. We move on. She moves to the back of the card.
That's been the entirety of pro wrestling history. People just kind of stepping into title matches. It's more of just one of those things where when they do a good job of pushing somebody into a title match, let's praise that. Let's not get too worked up when, you know, somebody who probably doesn't deserve it gets the title shot. You know, we've been talking a lot of 92 and classics lately. And you think about some of the douchebag, nobody mid-tiers who were getting shots against Brett as soon as he got the world title. It's like, let's calm down, everybody. This has been the entirety of wrestling history.
This guy's not a douchebag by any stretch of the imagination, but Papa Shango did get a WWF title shot on Saturday night's main event.
He did. He did indeed. Brett put him in his fucking place
with the sharpshooter.
Love Papa Shango.
The Continental Classic. We'll go over the tables right now.
Yes.
As they stand. I'll start with the Blue League first because they actually have the vast majority of their matches are complete. Kyle Fletcher's at the top with 9 points. Kazuchika Okada has 7. You have Shelton Benjamin and Mark Briscoe at 6. Daniel Garcia has 4. He has 2 matches remaining, yep, so he can get up to 10. And poor Beast Mortos has the donut. Would you like to see him beat Mark Briscoe, yes or no?
No. At this point, I think I'd just rather see Mark Briscoe get to 9. It sure looks like, you know, from the table, you know, my assumption is Okada wins his last one, gets 10. I'm kind of thinking Garcia wins his last two, and he ends up with 10 as well. And Kyle Fletcher is kind of the odd man out. Maybe that can play into whatever is going on with Will Ospreay at World's End, you know, interference in Continental Classic matches, but maybe he can attack him pre-match or something to kind of build on that feud. Otherwise, I think we are looking at Shelton and Mark need to sit at 6 if we do want Kyle to go over. I guess Kyle and maybe Garcia could go to another draw, get one more point. But would you agree Okada is definitely going through?
100%. Mm-hmm.
Then who do you think your second is?
So you alluded to it. Kyle Fletcher, Daniel Garcia, that will be on December the 22nd. And by the looks of things, okay, no, because Kazuchika Okada and Shelton Benjamin are also wrestling. That's the Christmas Dynamite, by the way. It's being recorded on Sunday, and it's going to be displayed, or it'll be played on Christmas.
Okay.
Let's go. I got to stick with Kyle Fletcher here. I think I do. I mean, they're really putting the heater on him. And I know that Garcia has 2 losses right now. Is that right?
No, just 1.
He just has the 1 to Mark Briscoe.
He lost Mark Briscoe, and then he's got the draw with Okada.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's, but, you know, and he's go ahead.
And he's the TNT champion, man. Like, I have a hard time not seeing him get through. Although there's the obvious, you know, match waiting with Fletcher and Ospreay.
He still has Shelton Benjamin also. Daniel Garcia does. And he's in Shelton Benjamin. He beat him up. I mean, the Hurt Syndicate took care of Mortos after the match, Briscoe and Daniel Garcia. So we got that playing into it. See, now this is part of the reason why I didn't want Daniel Garcia in this. Part of it was number 1 repeat offender. That's fine. I don't care about that anymore. I think it's a matter of him taking losses. I think, granted, they are against very good competition, but then what does that say about, I mean, it's going to give him a slew of contenders afterwards. He's going to have to wrestle.
That's
Mark
a good
Briscoe.
Thing. I mean, there you go. If Shelton beats him in this, that's a pretty great TNT, you know, match down the road. My only problem is with, I mean, as being the TNT champion, if he doesn't get through to the pay-per-view, which, I mean, that's why it's just a bit of a conundrum for me as to whether that's going to be Fletcher or him. The intriguing matchup, you know, waiting at World's End is Fletcher and Ospreay. That, mm-hmm. you know, I'd assume that would be the, I guess, number 1 versus maybe 2.
That win came out of nowhere for Mark Briscoe. And here is, I saw Sean earlier saying that that should never have happened with Briscoe defeating
bad take
Garcia. It is, and I'll give you the reason why. You look at the G1 climax and how grueling that tournament was. You would see the title holder lose a couple of times. And if he didn't get through and win the G1, he would have to give world title shots to the person that beat him.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's where it just kind of follows your round robin history, and it just makes sense.
Briscoe was just the Ring of Honor world champion. You know, I mean, he is absolutely beloved and respected by everybody in the industry. And I would assume most people outside of it with eyeballs, because I mean, few people work. There's no way of saying this without being a nerd, that work more believably to me in a ring where everything looks fluid in a non-performative way. Everything makes sense. Everything is crisp. Mark Briscoe is one of the best in professional wrestling right now.
Hey, I mean,
put even, some respect on his goddamn name.
Even his kung fu stuff gets over.
Fuck yeah. Love chicken.
I think they're going to have to play a draw in here somewhere. Daniel Garcia is going to have to go for a second. So
I want to see more draws too, especially since it's only 20 minutes. That would be my own. Well, I said previously, I miss the post-match interviews they did last year. But the other thing I would say, let's get some more draws.
So last year it was just Danielson and Claudio?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
We already have our one this year, apparently, unless we're going to get another one, I think we're going to get another one.
I think you have to, just to protect Daniel Garcia in this case. So I will go Kyle Fletcher and Kazuchika Okada going over with 10 points. And what that would mean is Fletcher...
Garcia and Fletcher maybe doing the draw?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to happen. Garcia will end up with, it would only be 5 points for him?
Yeah. Well, no, because he could beat Shelton.
Right. Shelton's got a tough road with Garcia and Okada coming up, too.
Garcia could end up with 8.
Okay.
And that would put him third, as long as, you know, Shelton and Mark don't get another win.
That's the thing, though. I mean, you have Briscoe already that can contend for Daniel Garcia's TNT title. If you have Shelton win, he could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, call me crazy here. Yeah, I almost want to see that.
Same. I'm glad we agree. Okada's definitely in. And then it just kind of comes down to Fletcher and Garcia. And I'm assuming you're like me, just kind of happy to see Shelton and Mark have a good performance in the C2. Beast Mordos, he's just one of those characters beloved here at Top Rope Nation. I do not accept any Beast Mordos slander. But, like, you know, that character isn't going to be winning any world titles or mid-card titles anytime soon. He's just one of those guys who's you're just absolutely pleased when he's on the card, because you know it's going to be a good match. It's going to be fun. That's enough for me. I don't need him to get any wins in this, unless it's obviously to keep... I think he is already wrestled. Who does he have left?
He's got Briscoe.
Just Briscoe? So, yeah. I mean, I'm okay with him losing that one.
Okay.
Or that's his one win. I mean, either way, it's win-win.
Oh, it just made me laugh, that 15-second promo of Okada calling him Beast Mordos, and Beast just does his roar.
Oh, I mean,
bitch Mordos, roar.
I got one more complaint about the C2. I don't think these guys should be in any other matches outside of the tournament. I don't like that. Like, to your point, this is supposed to be a grind, like the G1. And why Beast Mordos is out there having squash matches. You know, they had that big 10-man tag or whatever that Garcia was in, along with some others. No, get rid of that, man. Anybody in this tournament, their only matches during this time should be C2 matches.
Yes. I mean, you really, other than last night, you haven't seen Claudio come to ringside with the Death Riders because of this.
Right. Yep.
So makes a lot of sense. Well, yeah. Now you go to the Gold League, where almost everybody has 6 points. I just spoiled it for some folks here. Yeah, everybody has 6 points except for Commander. So if you're watching Rampage,
sorry.
Yes, Brody King got the win over Commander. Who do you see? I mean, the golden opportunity for three of these guys to have, or sorry, four of these guys to have 12 points. I mean, obviously it's not going to happen because they're going to be wrestling each other.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Darby and Will. There is something interesting they can do if they want to continue to build this Darby and Death Riders thing where the Death Riders have to in some way or form cost Darby his chance to go to World's End. And maybe it's Ospreay and Claudio. I would be all for, you know, another Okada and Claudio match at World's End. But I think those would be the three options for guys coming out would be Darby, Claudio, and Will. You want to treat Claudio as strong because number one, you have been. And number two, he's part of your biggest angle in the company. But I think our matches at World's End, confirm matches, you know, number one versus number two for each side. I would assume it's going to be Kyle Fletcher versus Will Ospreay and Okada versus Darby Allin, which, goddamn, that sounds pretty fucking enticing, doesn't it? I want to see Darby Allin take a Rainmaker.
How does that match look? Because we have the same final four.
Yeah. Okay. So you agree? You think that's what it's going to be?
Yeah.
Can you make any arguments for anybody else in the Gold League? I mean, with his current character with Ricochet, like I prefer what they're doing, but I also can't really take him as seriously, which I haven't really taken him seriously at all in this AEW run. But there's really nobody else, right?
Because there's no way Ricochet is pinning Ospreay. Ospreay took his one loss, in my opinion, right then and there.
Agree.
I can't see him pinning Darby Allin now either because Darby just got the biggest win of the entire tournament.
Yep.
I think they're kind of resurrect his character from what you had been talking about in the fall of him being the guy to dethrone Moxley, and they're going to go all in with this. So, I mean, he has to have a tremendous showing here. I think they're both going to end up with 12 points. Darby has to get his win back over Claudio. I think that's a foregone conclusion now.
Agree. Is that the last Darby match? Or no, he's got Claudio first and then Ricochet.
Yes. Darby, Claudio, Ricochet, Ospreay, Saturday Night Collision, right after college football. So on TNT. So
I wonder if you Okada finishes first in Blue League, Fletcher second, Ospreay finishes first in Gold League, and Darby second.
I think I'd have to roll reverse on that because Darby pinned Ospreay.
Well, okay, sorry. I guess in my thinking, I'm wondering if Darby will go to a draw with one of these guys to give Ospreay the clear win.
Ricochet.
Ricochet has Darby and Ospreay left. Mm-hmm. He's going to lose to Ospreay. And then, so just one more point would put him at seven. Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. So if Darby beats Claudio, puts him at nine, and then he's got Ricochet left and just outlasts him, basically, that can, you know, keep Ricochet somewhat strong. And they split a point. I don't hate that scenario.
And let's see. Let's call out Trevor Mann right now. Let's see if he can step up his game, especially after what he saw from Darby Allin on Wednesday night.
Yeah, he's a long ways from that.
Good grief. I mean, I think that was my... Oh, I have to span back 5 years. Was that my favorite Darby Allin match?
Fuck, man. He's having one hell of a 2024. I mean, he really... You know, I know you and Ryan have not been big on the idea of him being AEW world champion. But I mean, if you want to talk about people quote unquote deserving it, a world championship in general, I mean, you talk about AEW and WWE, the only names that spring to mind would be like Darby Allin, Sami Zayn. That might be the end of my list. Just for number one, Darby's not going to be around long, man. Not the way he wrestles. And Jesus Christ, that coffin drop, onto the fucking side of the ring. Holy shit. The sound that made, God damn. He does that bump all the time. And I cringe every single time he does it. My God. You know, he could die at the top of fucking Everest this spring. So let's give him his world title, man. It's probably going to get taken away by Christian Cage immediately anyways.
Oh no.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I'd much rather see Darby as world champ than Christian. And I love Christian more than I love Darby, but, yeah, man. I'm becoming more and more pro Darby getting this world title win.
They're planting the seeds right now. He, like I said, he just beat arguably the most over guy in the company.
Yep. Agree.
And it didn't look hokey to me. I think it was well deserved. It's coming from the biggest Will Ospreay fan there. So, no, we'll see. Like, I mean, there's so many stories that you can start to carve, which is going to make that Dynamite on January 1st extremely intriguing.
Do you agree that it's probably going to be the semifinals at World's End? Fletcher, Ospreay, Okada, Darby. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right?
Yep.
What are the finals? All right, is this all building towards Okada, Ospreay?
I think so.
Yeah, I agree. Which it's going to be interesting what they do with Darby. Because otherwise, I mean, shit, give me another Darby Ospreay, you know, rematch for the final. There's some decent scenarios for the outcome of this thing.
Losing to Okada is not going to hurt you whatsoever.
Yeah, agree. Boy, he's really gotten back on my radar too. I've been outside of the pack match at Dynasty. His AEW run has really underwhelmed me, but this tournament has started to bring out that old New Japan Okada.
It's a tournament. I mean, Okada's one of the best ever.
Yep.
At it. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be super psyched to see that. It's going to tie into the rest of the World's End card. Let's go through the hiccup and all of this before we get to the big main event for World's End. But hopefully they blow off the MJF Adam Cole stuff.
Yeah, less said about that, the better. The fucking entire segment was trash.
Wasn't very good at all.
We had a message from Ryan Drosty because he's trying to catch up on professional wrestling right now. And I had the exact same thought when I watched it, when fucking MJF brought up, you know, Santa's not real. It's like, motherfucker, there are kids who watch this. You know, I think Ryan was watching with his daughters. So now they probably can't watch anymore. I gave a little thanks that my son wasn't watching right then. Obviously, there's the easy write-off of like, well, he's just a bad guy saying bad things. But pretty shitty that stupid picture they put up of Adam Cole, I don't think does anybody any good because it's just going to fuel the haters. And for those that still like Adam Cole, they're just going to be like, yeah, God, that does kind of look like him, even though we know it's altered. Can't wait for this fucking feud to be over.
Sean, I don't think I'm getting too many arguments from you on that one. Cole is definitely in a worse spot right now, and MJF is not really painting a great light on himself either.
So, yep.
And that's a guy who I've said should be in the world title picture at some point. So, I mean, we'll see what happens from here on, but so many other avenues. Now let's get to the actual four-way that's going to happen. Do you like this whole dissension with Jay White and Orange Cassidy and Hangman Page? They can't unite because they all want to take down Moxley themselves.
I get what they're trying to do, you know, with these three guys who should be on the same page to fight and displace the Death Riders because of what the Death Riders did to Danielson and holding the world title hostage. I understand the story they're trying to tell, and it's one that I'm I want to like, that I'm trying to get invested in. But they're, you know, those three guys are really just starting to look like idiots to me, and I'm just not fully buying into it. You know, obviously, I don't think anybody's buying any one of these guys is winning the title at World's End, which is, you know, it's pro wrestling. You know, 90% of pay-per-view matches are this way, where we kind of know the outcome. But I'm just kind of in a standby mode right now. I'm in a wait and see. I'm curious to see if things pick up once the tournament's done and they can truly focus on this story, and if all the stars can start focusing on the Death Riders to make it feel like a bigger deal. You know, your Will Ospreys, your Swerves, how that's going to intermingle with the Hurt Syndicate, because they're really working right now for me. But I am very curious to hear your take on this that you kind of teased to me in our text thread.
You know how I felt about Hangman Page's inclusion in any world title picture right now. Yeah. I don't buy it. What I would have loved Moxley, Jay White.
Yep.
Easiest. And honestly, I think you could have spun this. Why not a one-off match between Hangman Page and Orange Cassidy?
Another one? Back-to-back pay-per-views?
No, Hangman wrestling Orange Cassidy.
Oh, sorry. I heard Moxley in my head for some reason. Yeah. I would have been down with that.
That'd have been real cool. I think there's an easy way you probably could have told it just after the match and all that stuff, and like Hangman just lingering and hating Moxley so much and just getting in Orange's way that the two of them end up getting sidetracked and they end up having a pay-per-view match.
I mean, if you're worried about somebody getting a big pay-per-view world title match after, you know, losing two straight big matches on pay-per-view, the easy solution is you have Hangman go over at Full Gear, beating Jay White. That puts their AEW feud at 1-1. They can both make claims for needing to be in this match. I have no problems with Orange being in this because he's truly feuding with this faction. It's not really so much about the world title to him. It's more about getting revenge and stopping Moxley and the Death Riders. So, yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from. Doesn't really bother me that much just because in my eyes, Hangman is one of four or five like true superstars in the company. So I'm just kind of okay with him inserting himself in this situation. It makes it a bigger deal if he's in it than if he's not. I buy him as a future world champion way more than I do Jay White. Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Definitely. Especially when that easy solution was there where you just give him the win at Full Gear.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all predicted Hangman to do it and it didn't happen. We're kind of shocked on it. And I'm like, all right, then let's go Moxie, Jay White, one off world title. Go for it. And a good way to resurrect Hangman's, not resurrect his character, but just to start getting him back in his winning ways, is have him get a high profile win over Orange Cassidy, who's been red hot recently.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree, man. Or put him in the C2, you know, let him have a big run in that.
I think that, gosh, now, all right, Tony Khan, at some point in time in the next 6 months, give me a match between Hangman Page and Orange Cassidy. I just want to see what that looks like.
Oh, yeah. I'm down.
That'd be fun, as this podcast has been as well. Is there anything else that we missed on the AEW side of things? Because we covered the C2.
I think we got it, man. You know, as usual, you know, all of our pre-show talks are about let's keep it snappy. Let's do a short one this time. And here we are going even longer than we normally do, even without our boss here. Maybe that's why we're going longer. Tell us to stop. Fuck you, Ryan Drosty. Just
kidding. You're fueled by monkey shoulder right now.
I am. I'm feeling it.
Oh, it's very, very true. Yeah, it's my first NA beer in a long time. So, hey, it's the holiday season. I got to live a little, which I'm actually going to be drinking on Monday night. the 23rd here coming up. So
margarita.
I am. Yeah, I'm picking up. So Christmas Eve is huge for my dad's side of the family. My family, my brother's hosting. We're doing a Mexican themed Christmas Eve. So he said,
Feliz Navidad.
Yes. Pick up, which my son sang today at his Christmas, nice. His Christmas party. Oh, it's adorable. Yes. Yeah. So I have him on Christmas Eve, which I guess kind of off topic here. Christmas Day, he goes to his mom's at 10 a.m. I've done all my Christmas stuff. I'm going to be watching wrestling all day like a total dork, yeah, loser, whatever.
Awesome.
Alone on Christmas. On a Wednesday night, this will be the first Wednesday night I have not had my son ever.
I'm sorry, man. That fucking sucks. Come join us. Drive down to Waterloo. We'll have you.
On Christmas Day?
Fuck yeah.
That wouldn't be too bad. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'll be watching wrestling in peace and having leftovers.
One last quick question. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
I've switched so many times. I was a It's a Wonderful Life guy for a while.
Really?
I've never seen it.
I know.
You totally should. I think now, and I mean, this is one of the not very few things, but one of the things that I still like about my ex is she got me into Elf.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. I really like Elf.
Modern classic.
Yeah. Die Hard, Tim. That's a good one. I mean, my son has a cardboard lifelike cutout of Buddy the Elf in his room. So,
gotta love it. If you see them, if you're out shopping and you see it's Goldfish crackers, except they're Elf branded and they taste like maple syrup. They're fucking awesome.
Where is this?
Any store. We find them at our local store right now. I've bought two packages now because I find myself munching on them all the time. And I don't like Goldfish. They're not like cheese flavored. They're just like Elf inspired Goldfish crackers that are freaking delightful.
Okay. So my son is a Goldfish kid.
Oh, but go find them. I'll look it up right now. See if I can find a picture of it for you.
Yeah, that's one of the very few things that my son he's a kid. I mean, good grief. The kid eats so much fruit and so much meat when he's with me that, yeah, Goldfish and Welch's fruit snacks are about the only things that he has that are kind of on brand when it comes to their kids. Here we go.
This is what it looks like.
Oh, my gosh. I'm buying that tomorrow.
Maple syrup graham crackers.
He is going to freak out.
They're fucking good, dude. Dangerously good.
Freak out. Home Alone, Sean, I'm with you. That's in my top. I don't know where that'd be. Close to my top. Probably in my top five.
All Alone for Christmas by Darlene Love might be my favorite Christmas song. Ooh. That changes all the time, but I know that was from Home Alone. Love that song.
Ooh. Yeah. So anyhow, yeah. So I'll be at Boca Chica picking up. He requested that I pick up two bags of chips and two pints of salsa to bring for Christmas Eve.
Fuck yeah. Raise them right.
Oh, yes. How about yourself as we close this show? Christmas Eve, Christmas Day?
Oh, family. I have Christmas number 3, Christmas Eve day, and then we'll just do kind of, you know, me, the wife, and the kids, Christmas Eve night, I will watch my favorite Christmas movie of all time, Muppet Christmas Carol.
Ooh.
The fucking best. And then Friday, our fourth and final at my dad's.
My goodness.
And I will be playing a Nintendo Switch, which is what we're getting my kid for Christmas. I'm fucking excited. Oh. Mario Kart, baby.
Oh. Let's I almost go. Want to start a podcast about Super Mario Kart now.
I'm a Yoshi. Who do you pick? Who's your driver?
Ooh. Yep. Yoshi's mine too.
Yeah. Boy, I guess we can't race each other.
I know. Vastly underrated, even though he's super slow, but Donkey Kong.
I don't like the slow ones, like him and Bowser. I got to have like a Luigi or a Yoshi. Yeah, those are my go-tos.
And Toad back in the day because he was just so conservative and easy to control.
Zelda rules. Hell yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We could totally get on a tangent. But Collision on Saturday, super psyched for.
Hammerstein. Yes.
Oh, I know. Hammerstein. And then fucking Friday pumped. Night as well for Ring of Honor, which I'll just read the results because the main event is a vomit bag. Although, no, wait a minute. The main event's Athena and Billy Starks.
Careful now. Careful now. The true main event.
Thank goodness. Because Chris Jericho and Matt Cardona in 2024 does absolutely nothing for me.
Kind of a poor representation of what Ring of Honor is, having that as your world title match in the year of our Lord 2024.
It's so gross. But yeah, there's just so much pro wrestling going on. Normally December post WCW was a lull when it comes to when the WWE was all alone, 2002, yeah. Moving forward.
And that was fucking hot. It's fucking hot. December rules this year.
Both promotions are kicking into high gear, and I'm loving it. So the addition of the C2 from Thanksgiving to December has made AEW, yes, well worth your watch. Any other closing thoughts before we roll? And thank you, chat. Always appreciate it.
No, man. We've gone over big time. I fucking loved it. This is flown by.
Ditto. Ditto. Patreon.com/Top Rope Nation is the best way to support us. $5 gets us a long ways. We'll be doing a Classics in a couple of weeks. Again, Survivor Series 1992, where Kyle, Justin, Ryan, the original trio, they did a two-hour beautiful job covering that show. We'll be covering something in December. Super psyched for that. And, yeah.
Uh-oh. Lost you. So, technology has determined that we need to end this fucking epic Christmas show of Top Rope Nation. I hope all of you have a very happy holidays from all of us here at Top Rope Nation. Enjoy your professional wrestling. We will see you later on. Peace. Crypto.
I don't sleep because my head's on fire. I hate creeps and I hate liars.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.